is 4:54. Not doing great today, everybody. By the power vested in me by the Board of Trustees of Cornell University, I call this meeting to order. Could we get a call of the roll?
Hello, hello.
Bibiaki Raju.
Hello.
Amita Akpan.
I'm holding her proxy. Niles Height, yeah.
Lucia Balastrary. Lizzie Barrett. Issa Tuberry. Franklin Berry. Simone Chan.
Here.
Rocco Lorenzo.
Oh, here.
Flora Duram.
Here.
David Diao. Harris Everett.
Present.
Christian Flournoy. Allison Halkowski. Niles Height.
Here.
Cassandra Jordan. Sion Kim. Clyde Letterman.
Present.
Flora Meng. Yash Moitra.
Here.
Suraj Parikh.
Here.
Casey Platkin. Amani Razeka.
Present.
Stellar Sun.
Present.
David Suarez. Benjamin Terhar. Claire Ting.
Present.
Adam Vinson. Amy Wang. Patrick Keel.
Present. Alrighty. Thank you everyone for being here. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaigahono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gaigahono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gaigahono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gaigahono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Please take a look at the minutes from February 29th. And when ready, if I could get a mover, that would be great. Trustee Swenson.
So moved.
So moved. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent to the February 29th meeting minutes? Seeing none. Beautiful. Announcements. EVP Ting.
Hey, everyone. So I was at the university assembly meeting on Tuesday, and I was told by the chair, Shelby Williams, that we will have an opportunity to share any materials with her that you think would be pertinent for her to present to the Board of Trustees by March 15th. So if you or anything you know about your respective constituencies have any pressing issues, especially visual aids about data, statistics, or anything of the likes, please let me know and we'll make sure to get that to her. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll add on to that the reports to the Board of Trustees, including mine, are due tonight at midnight. And the PowerPoint is due next week. But if you guys have anything that you want me to put in the report to the Board of Trustees, please just talk to me after the meeting. Trustee Swenson.
I remember we mentioned during that very big student assembly meeting that we would have recommendations for socially responsible investments.
Yes. So the ESG committee is still getting off the ground. They're doing some recruiting. There wasn't very many applications, only about two from the student assembly email. So they're trying to do some more outreach to different constituencies on campus. There are two student assembly members and a graduate student, since they're also doing an ESG committee, who are going to kind of work jointly on that and kind of move forward and try to figure out the stuff. And then once that's all figured out, regardless of the ESG committee, I will be giving a presentation to the Board of Trustees on divestment. So, Representative Meng, I saw your plaque first.
Yeah, just to follow up the ESG committee's question. So far, since like we have a report from the CML, and if we were really presenting, there's a high chance that the President Keo will bring that whole report to the trustee meeting rather than like we generate a new report right now, since it's like the most time efficient way we have. But like if this committee lasts longer in the future, we certainly can do more.
Yeah, and I will be taking parts of the CML. It's pretty well put together, and I will be incorporating parts of that into my presentation. I only get a couple of minutes to present, and there's a lot of things to cover, so it'll be one piece of the presentation overall. Do you have a point, Representative Rezga? Okay, beautiful. Okay, Representative Moitra.
Just wanted to apprise the. I wanted to talk about the Student Wellbeing Council meeting that just happened.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. The Student Wellbeing Council held its second meeting of this semester on February 29th. We discussed a wellbeing evaluation plan for students, a wellbeing evaluation plan for staff, participatory approaches, the Photo Voice project, and future meetings. If any of you want information on this or the memorandum, it's about 2 pages that I wrote up a few days back. I worked very hard on it. Text me or email me and I'll send it over to you.
Thank you, Representative Height.
Can I make like a really quick announcement?
Like, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of
so, course. Really quick, I sent like an email out to like most of you if I didn't have your phone numbers already, but internal operations committee, we're like compiling a list. So like it's easier to have like, you know, point of contact since like stuff is ramping up towards the end of the year. And, most of you like responded. So thank you if you did that already, but some of you also have not. So like, please do that. Like now, if you can actually like, please. So yeah, that's all.
Thank you.
Trustee Swenson.
So I just had a meeting with Dean Love and followed up on our request to have a in-person forum with General Counsel Dean Love and Provost Kotlikoff. And she was very receptive to it. So I'm hoping that March 14th, all of them will be sitting here at 4:45. So that means we need to come with questions and we need to work among us so that we don't ask repeats and that we're effective and that we get the answers that we need. My second point is that I'm giving a presentation to the trustees in May about anything I want. And the topic that I chose or I think I'm going to do is talking about the freshman experience at large. So I'm going to start setting up these meetings where I meet with freshmen as well as everyone on this committee on the student assembly. I know ICE too is involved with the freshman experience. So if anyone has any input, I would love to hear your thoughts.
Thank you, Trustee Swenson. Yeah, you all receive a formal announcement if the logistics get worked out for next week's meeting to have Provost Kolakoff, Dean Love, and Donica Varner, Head Counsel Donica Varner, come and present. So it's not set in stone yet, but tentatively it'll be next week. Vice President Letterman.
Couple of different announcements. Number one, we have internal operations committee tomorrow morning, 4:30, Goldwin Smith, 144. Last week we did and thanks to the help of everyone on the committee, in particular Nicholas, Parliamentarian McGuard, who allowed us the chairing and logistics work. We talked about transition prep. So how do we make sure we carry over institute knowledge and like document what the assembly is doing, sort of more of that stuff coming forward soon. That we do tentative, soon, mostly confirmed announcement. If you all remember, 3 months ago now, Representative Durham brought up the idea of a speaker series, and we hopefully have our first speaker confirmed, who is Dave Prouty, who is a board member on the National Labor Relations Board and used to be chief negotiator for the union that represents organized baseball players, as well as was chief counsel of another union. 32BJ, and he should be coming in on April 9th and doing a chat, and that's in partnership with the American Association of University Professors, the AAUP chapter at Cornell, and Professor Risa Lieberwitz in ILR, but he's a pretty cool guy, so we'll have some more information coming out about that soon, and so the funds were able to help pay for his travel. And then we also have the SUNY Student Assembly Conference, which represents students at 63 different SUNY institutions, although we're counted weirdly. We're counted as 4, although that doesn't count in the 63 because we have 4 different schools. It's sort of odd. But The SUNY Student Assembly represents more than a million students, I believe, and they will be gathering in Glen Falls, New York, which is north of Albany, but south of Lake George, at the end of April. I just like that, north of Albany, south of Lake George. But we will try to get some students there. So if any of you all are interested, President Keel sent an announcement. I'm following up with their person who manages logistics tomorrow, or Saturday, rather, to get a more full view. But if you all are interested in more student assembly stuff, please come my way. Am I missing anything about internal operations?
I have a question.
Yes.
You said the speaker series, they're speaking at student assembly, or they just come in general?
Just come in general. I think it's going to be in the law school, probably the afternoon of April 9th, which happens to be the first day of our elections. But we were going to do it the Monday, but we didn't want to interfere with the eclipse. So, but it'll just be down in the law school. Do you all know the eclipse is happening? Good. Wonderful.
Yes, I probably shouldn't have said yeah, because I knew the eclipse was happening. There is a full solar eclipse coming up. First day back after spring break. 3:30 April 8th. So pretty dope. Pretty dope. Any other announcements on the floor? Representative Everett.
Okay. I know it's on the agenda, but it's not validly on the agenda. So I'd like to motion to put Resolution 60, gender neutral bathrooms, on the agenda. DEI committee was just busy this week. We didn't get a time to like everyone sit down and vote on it. But I would love for it to be on the agenda. And for those who didn't get the chance to read it or on the committee, Cal's DEI rep came to me and was like, hey, some gender neutral folks don't really have a place to use the bathroom. And we'd like to send out a survey to like the student body to see if other students are feeling that way. So this resolution is just a resolution asking for a survey to go out to the student body to get people's opinions so we can get a percentage of like what areas may be lacking, how many students feel as though there's discrepancy. So then we can take it to the internal, the external operations committee, because they got a big budget that could do something with the numbers we get back. So. Yeah, that is my motion.
Point of information. Isn't that Resolution 60 already on the agenda?
Yeah, but it's not like validly on the agenda. So I want to put it like on the agenda for realsies.
So I would make a suggestion. There's also another resolution having to do with our merch purchase, both for things to be able to pass out to the community as well as things for all of you. That also needs a suspension of the rules. So if I could move that both Resolution 60 and it would be Resolution 63 are added to the agenda via a suspension of the rules. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, Resolution 60 stays where it is, and Resolution 63, merch order or something similar, is now added to the agenda. Could you also put that in the box? Okay, it is in the box. Okay, with that, we will now, any further announcements on the floor? Thank you, Representative Everett, for your due diligence. Seeing none, we will move into open microphone. Are there any community members wishing to speak at this time? Seeing none, we'll move into the presentation section. I do have a quick presentation to give. Oh, excuse me. I apologize. I'm getting ahead of myself. The consent agenda section of our agenda. Resolution 55, amending the previously adopted Resolution 27. This is the final edit on our charter amendment from last semester. It is technical amendments approved by Dean Lowe today. Is there any dissent to the consent calendar? Literally like word stuff, and they didn't want to do the advisory board right now and wanted to have more conversations about it. So the advisory board is not in there. But other than that, Representative Everett.
Is the Haven exception from... byline funding, it's not, why is it not in there? Because we passed the charter amendment.
Good question. This was just the stuff that we did first. I think the first meeting we took this up on was September 13th, then September 20th. This was just related to all the stuff related to how our membership works and things like that, created the veteran seat. Remember, we sent this, we did two meetings, then we amended it. Then we sent it to the president. President sent us to talk to Dean Love. We talked to Dean Love. There were minor technical amendments. Then we went back to Dean Love. We got more minor. It would just be going on and on. But it just relates to Article 4 of the Charter.
And so there will be a second resolution on the calendar in the coming week or maybe 2 weeks from now with all of the other stuff from that, which Dean Love wanted to have more conversations about. But we needed to get the election stuff dealing with our membership done before. So she bifurcated that, said, get this done. This looks good enough. Let's have more conversations about the other stuff. And we will hopefully have that by next week or maybe the week after, according to Dean Love.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I be there?
Yeah, sure. If you would like. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Happy to have you. Okay. Any dissent to the consent calendar? Seeing none, consent calendar is ordered and passed. Okay, presentation section. I'm going to give a quick presentation because we've been throwing out the word referenda a lot this semester and last semester. And I felt after having a lot of talks with Jessica that it was important to have a quick conversation about what a referenda is under our charter and how we can maybe move differently going forward. So the charter defines a referenda as something of significance to the student body. In order to have a referenda initiated, reading straight from the charter here, any student group or a student may submit a referenda of any topic of current student interest to the student assembly general body upon successful collection of support from at least 3% of the registered undergraduate student body. According to the following procedure, and then there's all these procedures, and then after that is done, there's a bunch of stuff that we have to do. So anything of minor significance, I don't want to call your issues not minorly significant, like the ILR one or the gender neutral bathrooms that could be expedited through a ballot initiative where we could just pass it. We should do that. Things like this, for example, just pulling something up that we've been dealing with a lot this year. Divestment from Cornell University could be used for as a referenda. There's 450 or however many 3% of the registered undergraduate student body. It goes through this. And it does not really require a vote of the student assembly to go to the president. So you can all read through the referenda procedure. It's very long and has all these different steps. But I just wanted to point that out. So anything that we don't want to spend a ton of time on and is not initiated by a student group should be called a ballot initiative or a survey. Trustee Swenson.
What's the difference between a ballot survey and a referenda?
Okay. So a referenda is something that has to be initiated from a student group or student, and it has to, in order to be initiated, has to have the signatures on a petition of at least 3% of the registered undergraduate student body. And then there's all these different procedures about how that has to be done, in terms of what has to be submitted. A ballot initiative could come from the student assembly and be placed on a ballot or be sent out as a survey.
So it's the same thing.
No, because if the referendum passes, it goes straight to the president and all this other stuff. But you, again, can read through. I just wanted to point that out to everybody that there is a difference and referendums are a little bit more time intensive and such.
Point of order. And there's like, if I'm not mistaken, there's a section where if you get like X percent of student body votes, like I think it's like 16%. If the student assembly doesn't vote at least 80% no or higher, it goes to the president automatically. So 79% of the assembly could vote no on a referenda, but if the petitioners got it over 16% or something like that, signatures, 10% signatures, then it just goes straight to the president too.
Lovely. Thank you for your point of order. Representative Rezica.
Yeah, my question was with the rule about the 80%. Do abstains count in that or no? Because I believe the wording is 80% no vote.
Yeah, the abstains wouldn't count. So it'd be 80% of those voting no. You have to get 80% of the people who vote to vote no for this not to go to the president. And honestly, from my perspective, if a student group puts in enough time to collect this much of the student body in signatures, a referendum should be held. There hasn't been a referendum in like many, many years because it's relatively difficult to do. But yeah, there is an actual difference. And I just wanted to point that out to people. And again, please read the charter. It's very important. Representative Barry, or sorry, Freak, I couldn't see you on her clothes.
Yeah. So this is just more of a clarification. This is not for the
microphone, please.
this is just more of a clarification. It's not for the ILR resolution that we're going to talk about today, but like, where exactly in the charter does it say that like the student assembly cannot initiate a referendum?
So this is a conversation I had with Jessica today. So it goes through this list. I had this conversation with Jessica today. My original interpretation was that it could be initiated by the student assembly, but because of the way it's written, the first step in the process, well, I guess technically the second is the collection of signatures, to start the referendum process. And there, in the first step, it doesn't really say that the student assembly can do that. I think it's like kind of a poorly written, like, I think it should include the student assembly, but it doesn't. So that's just kind of what it is. You want to follow up?
Yeah, like, because I know in section A, it says that the SA will have the authority and responsibility to conduct public hearings, forums, and referenda. So like, what is, I guess, what is the Office of the Assembly's interpretation of that?
That we have the responsibility of running the referenda.
Okay, but not to like initiating that.
Not to initiate it.
Okay, so then for all the other like referenda that we passed, those would go in the form of ballot initiatives?
Yeah, and we'll just have to probably at some point pass like a amendment to change all the referenda to ballot initiatives. Okay. And we will do that. And I'm working on that, and we'll have something ready for next week's meeting. Vice President Letterman, what, have you already spoken?
I've spoken. Yeah.
Okay. Representative Rizka.
Yeah, I had a question about, Clyde can go first. I just forgot my question.
Okay.
I think the one other thing I want to clarify, the difference between a referenda and these sort of survey questions that we're putting on the ballot, is that the referenda results go to the president as though it was a resolution, whereas the survey questions are just released as part of the election results, but will just be for our own edification. And, you know, our friends at the Sun can write about it, but aren't necessarily conveyed through the formal process that a referenda results would be.
Representative Rosica.
Yeah, so when you collect signatures for a referendum, are you collecting signatures for people who are saying yes or to the question of the referenda? Because I know the referenda has to be answered in a yes or no format. Or are you collecting signatures for people just saying that they would like the referendum to be held?
Just signatures saying they would like the referendum to be held.
So you would just like show them a resolution, kind of?
So it says in the charter that the person who makes, or the person or group who makes the referendum, I'll just read this section. B, at two times during the course of the fall and spring semesters, a student or student groups referred to as the submitter may submit a referendum of any topics of current student interest to the student assembly general body upon successful collection of support from at least 3% of the registered undergraduate student body. Submitters should plan to collect at least 450 undergraduate signatures according to the following procedures. The referendum must contain a single or a series of referendum questions that are neutrally worded and call for a yes-no response. Once the submitter has started gathering signatures, the questions may not be changed or modified in any way. Submitters must collect signatures defined as a willfully submitted record of first name, last name, and net ID exclusively from registered undergraduate students at Cornell University. Digital and print solicitation methods are permitted, provided that the referendum question and sponsoring student or student organization are clearly visible. An electronic form, example Google form, may be used to gather the names and net IDs of students, but the final submission must be on the appropriate form provided by the Office of Assemblies. The deadline for submission of referendum will be the date to coincide with the deadline of the election material for the fall or for the spring elections. All deadlines will be advertised to the SA monthly newsletter, as well as all other usual publicity instruments, which I read as the last day you can submit stuff to register as a candidate for elections.
Okay, so what's that date with the new election schedule?
Do you know it off the top of your head? Okay. Friday before spring break. March 30th. Thank you, Representative Everett. Any other questions about this? You're on fire. That's great. Off the dome. Okay. If you're interested in doing a referendum, I would suggest Not that I think we should do referendums or don't think we should do referendums or anything like that. But if you're interested in doing it for any reason on any topic, please talk to the Office of Assemblies and they will help you figure out how to do it. Again, it can't be an assembly member. It has to be a student organization or student. But talk to the Office of Assemblies. They will help you. Also, I'm a resource if you have any questions or need help with anything. It does not say register student organization. It just says student organization. Okay. Technically, you and I, Rocco, could form a student organization between you and I and start a referendum process, though I don't think it really matters because a student on their own can submit a referendum request. Okay. All right. After that, any other final questions on that? Okay. Seeing none, we will move on to the resolutions calendar. Resolution 60, gender neutral bathrooms. Representative Everett, please take your place at the front of the room.
Point of information.
Point of information.
So in terms of surveys or referendas, if we don't want to do referendas, can we do surveys on behalf of the student assembly if we want to? That just asks a question to the student body?
Yes.
In the form of an email?
Yes, but that won't be conveyed to the president unless it's put in a second resolution. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Point of inquiry. Like a referendum request still have to be approved through committee?
No, because it's initiated by a student organization. It has nothing to do with the student assembly. I mean, it does, but like it just the process is started outside of the student assembly.
But like student assembly members could co-sponsor it.
So. Yeah, but the process, I don't even know if you need co-sponsors because the process is just collecting signatures. And as soon as the signatures are collected, the referendum is. I mean, it doesn't specify. Again, I would just work with the Office of Assemblies. This hasn't been done in at least 20 years. So, yeah.
Can I
all right.
Say something?
Sorry, I didn't see you.
Okay. I think I may work on a resolution to like kind of revamp the open ballot thing. I think we should have more engagement and have a lot more surveys sent out to the community just to know what's going on. I know they have some sort of like survey system. So if anybody's interested in that, you could reach out to me.
Great. That's awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. All right. Now your time has come. Please present.
All right. Hello, everyone. It is I, Karis Everett. I'm joined here today by my good friend, Caleb, from the DEI of CALS committee, who approached me about this issue in the first place. So I'm going to, you know, let you take it away from here.
Hello, everyone. My name is Caleb. I am a part of CALS DEI committee. I am focusing primarily on gender neutral bathrooms on this semester, and also among other things, gender neutrality in general. And one of the big issues that came up in our meeting was that there's not a lot of survey from students understanding what challenges individuals have whenever they use a gender neutral bathroom, and we're really trying to understand what challenges they may have so that we can help and improve them. And if we can get the student body's opinion on that, then we can form an opinion in CALS, and it can help us really push things forward so that every student feels welcome on campus.
I'd just like to add, just as a precedent thing, the assembly actually has a pretty extensive history dating all the way back to 2011 around gender-neutral bathrooms. So I put the resolution in the box for everyone that wants to take a look at it, but there was Resolution 21, which was called Accessibility of Gender-Neutral Bathrooms in Locker Rooms on Campus. And the resolution passed, and it basically called for, one, each new construction and renovation of facilities on the Cornell campus included at least one accessible stall, single stall, for a gender-neutral restroom. Current single stall bathrooms on Ithaca campus be converted to gender neutral restrooms, and each new construction of athletic and recreation facilities with locker rooms include at least one gender neutral changing and shower facility. And then in 2015, there is another resolution that was eradicating what the drafters called cis sexism, which was basically a push for more gender neutral language in the university's information that they put out. At the time, there was only male or female identification users, and they were like, you should be able to choose other genders outside of that, if you don't feel like that resonates with you. And then in 2018, they passed another resolution about gender neutral bathrooms again, which was to set the goal that every building on campus will contain at least one gender neutral bathroom. And then on 2023, Cornell University itself actually updated, its construction standard on campus, to say that that there should be gender neutral bathrooms on campus. But here we are because students feel like they're gender neutral and they don't really have a place to use the restroom. And so we'd like this resolution to just be a survey that's put out again so we can take it to the proper committees to figure out what to do. That's my presentation.
Thank you. The floor is open for discussion. I'll just say thank you for bringing this forward, and I look forward to its passage. Representative Freak.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this up. Totally agree. Just like one technical amendment based on all the stuff we talked about referendums. I'm not sure what line it is, but I think the first "be it therefore resolved" clause says that the student assembly should send out a referendum to survey students.
Line 67.
Line 67. Okay, yeah, I would just change that to the student assembly should survey students.
Is that a formal amendment?
Yes, that is.
The amendment on the floor is to change referendum to survey.
Would you be open, like, to use this, but isn't it Caltrics survey? Wouldn't that be what the official survey that's sent out? What would be the official survey, I guess, that'd be sent out?
You can say it.
So for something like this, campus groups, you can set up like surveys on there and then they automatically run the stats. If you try to set up something through Qualitrics or whatever, you have to like go through the Cornell institutional, whatever department of planning. It's just a lot easier to do the stuff in campus groups. So
campus group survey that. Representative Rezica.
Yeah, my question about the campus groups versus Qualitrics is that I know for like petitions and stuff, Cornell only recognizes like Qualitrics. So would like administration even like care to look at the results if it was through campus groups?
So in campus groups, before you are able to like fill out a survey, you have to log in your Cornell NetID. So it'll be able to like see and like stop people from submitting it multiple times.
So I think no is the answer.
I think Qualitrics may be better for our purposes here because even though it's a little more roundabout, it is a lot more secure and anonymous for students to feel like they can vote and not feel exposed or outed or anything.
All right. So the amendment on the floor, if I understand it correctly, where that came out to was referendum to change to Qualtrics survey. Is that correct?
Yes.
Beautiful. Is there a second?
Second.
Vice President Letterman.
Great initiative. I was wondering if you're going to do a Qualtrics survey or any sort of survey, right? What if you did it where we just hot take? Let's say you want to change things right as you're designing the survey, right? You want to add questions, you want to take them away, you want to collect data that's not in here or in here. What if we just cut most of the resolving clauses and just say the whatever external communications committee is responsible for conducting a referendum on this subject in consultation with you, or the DEI committee is responsible for conducting this referendum, and then it just gives you more leeway to decide what's actually in it instead of saying specifically now in case it needs to be changed later?
I think the Qualtrics survey is easiest just in terms of like getting the information and then like moving forward with what we do with the numbers. Cause this resolution is truly just to get a survey of how students feel, because in theory, even though I doubt, but in theory, it could come back and students are like, no, we're fine and we don't need anything. So this allows for a little more flexibility in what the numbers give back and how I guess we move forward and showing it with like the external committee or otherwise. But thank you, genuinely. That would otherwise be a good, really good idea.
I'd also want to mention, in terms of Cal's DEI committee, the stricter the survey is in terms of, like, you can't change it, the more valuable the results will be for us in terms of we didn't change a question mid-survey, therefore our data is still statistically significant in that way. So it keeps things constant, which is good for surveys.
I like that research integrity. Good stuff. Vice President DeLorenzo.
So I was thinking along the lines of, like, how to still make it anonymous, but, like, also, like, there needs to basically be one element within either survey, it doesn't really matter which one, where, like, it would stop multiple Cornell emails from, like, submitting it multiple times and just keep running it through. So, like, the Qualtrics one, that would be okay, but, like, so long as, like, one of the intro questions is, like, submit, like, your net ID or something like that. Something that, like, is, I mean, it's, like, relatively not identifiable. And, like, you guys, I'm sure, can, like, manage the data well to, like, make sure it stays anonymous. But that was just one of the concerns that I was thinking about.
I think Qualtrics, you can only take surveys one time if you're using SSO. So I don't think that matters. Okay. I know, and it won't let you take it again. So, yeah. Okay, Representative Wong.
Oh no, I was going to say the same thing. We only could do it once.
Okay, beautiful. Other comments on this amendment? Seeing none, is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're back in discussion on the resolution. Trustee Swenson.
Thank you, guys. And if no one has anything else, I think we can motion to pass this with unanimous consent.
That motion is in order. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, congratulations. That does pass. And we look forward to the results. Okay, our next resolution of the evening, Resolution 61, referendum on the ILR school's 18 credit enrollment limit. All right.
Okay. Also, pretty straightforward what this is about. If, for those of you who don't know, ILR has a credit enrollment limit where students are not allowed to enroll in more than 18 credits. Most ILREs probably are familiar that this is a major barrier because, like, it's very inconvenient to not be able to enroll in an extra half credit or an extra one credit when, you know, there's a class you want to take or something like that. So the goal here is just to see whether or not ILR students approve of this credit limit, what their thoughts on it are, and then hopefully, you know, begin that conversation with ILR administration. So, there's one amendment I would need to make to this just to, like, fix the technical stuff about a referendum. But yeah, that is the goal here, basically, to just on the spring student assembly elections, the same way there is, like, a school-wide election for ILR representative. There would be an additional question saying whether or not the ILR school should keep or remove the 18 credit classroom.
Yeah, just a little bit about turnout. These are the kinds of personal questions that we have to ask. We want students to feel personally engaged to increase turnout. So, it's important to turn out to go to vote. But when they see tangible stuff like this that can really affect them in a personal way, it's going to make them more likely to fill out ballots. And that's what we have to do to get the turnout up. So. That's my perspective on it. And Claude, you want to say anything?
Yeah, sure. No, I think this would just be in the ILR ballot. It would be a yes, no question. Do you approve or disapprove of the 18 credit limit? And this should just be get a sense of students before we go forward as whether or not this thing, how strongly do people feel about this? And if there's high enough turnout, it'll should show a significant result and hopefully just keep people engaged.
Yeah, and like one last thing, kind of like tangentially related to this, is like if any of you are in schools other than the ILR, there's a pressing concern about like a policy within your school or within your constituency. I think Luke would also agree with this, like the elections committee, and like would appreciate if you guys have any concerns, bring it up. We can put it on the ballot and, you know, really help boost turnout in all the different schools.
Representative Ting, Vice President Ting, excuse me.
Hi, I just want to take a second to speak in support. First of all, like, I mean, I've personally been affected by this 18 credit enrollment limit. It's also disadvantaged me per the resolution for the 3+3 applications. So I wanted to ask, in your guys's research and writing process of the resolution, what did ILR admin say about, I guess, like the 18 credit, like feasibility? I know that like admin's been pretty adamant against it. And I totally think that having this data will bring a more convincing and compelling argument to get rid of it. But I just want to know what their perspective was.
Can I, Trustee Swenson, if I can yield my time now?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. I think the general consensus, and this is the perspective that I've heard, is that administration doesn't really want people to, as Rocco has said, speedrun ILR and kind of get all these classes done in a very fast manner. And that's kind of the reasoning when I know they used to have a 6 or 8 semester residency requirement. They got rid of that in the new curriculum, and now they have the 18 credit limit, which is much more strictly enforced. So the assumption there is that like they just want to restrict people from graduating early, et cetera. But I think that the disadvantage that has obviously is that, you know, people are not able to take a half credit more, right? Or it really screws up the scheduling when you're trying to like fit in a class that's only offered one time, or a class that, you know, ILR does a lot of these 1.5 credit or like 1 credit classes. So it really causes a problem there.
Vice President De Lorenzo.
All right. Me and Siraj, we had a good talk about this stuff earlier. So I'm in the Dyson school, and a while ago, Dyson had a similar problem as ILR, where students were basically graduating like 2.5 to 3 years, pretty much. And they were just completing the entire major in that time frame. What Dyson did, which is separate from ILR, is they implemented these annual like classes that we have to take called like grand challenges. It's every kid's like grandest challenge. They're like kind of dumb classes, I'm not gonna lie. But you basically have to take them every single year. So the earliest you could graduate is December of your senior year. ILR, I think they took a different approach of like the 18 credit limit, but I think that like regardless, right? Like the student assembly, we have purview over student campus life. The academic stuff, you're right. Hopefully this will like start the trend. But I think understanding why ILR, like specifically why they, number one, implemented the 18 credit requirement, why was 18 chosen, stuff like that, that could help you better develop this instead of just saying like get rid of it entirely. Because I think you might have more success at maybe making so like juniors and seniors can take an extra credit over or something like that, and changing the scale than just getting rid of it entirely. Because you're right. I mean, people will try to speed run the schools. I mean, people just don't want to pay tuition like for multiple years if you don't have to. So,
yeah, totally agree. I think that's why we're doing the referendum, so that way we can just gauge student opinion.
Ballot initiative.
Sorry. Yes, ballot initiative. So that way we can gauge student interest on, you know, whether or not this policy is good, and that'll really start the conversation with administration about what the real solution here is.
As someone who has a credit limit of 24, I feel for you guys. Representative, what? Cals. Representative Wong.
I am in support of this resolution, but I would like to just add, I think that we should be careful with how we move forward in terms of like the credit limit stuff, because having like once the credit limit is raised, even though it shouldn't increase the expected amount of credit students to take, I just don't want students to feel like they have to take more credits. This is coming from someone who's only ever taken like 16 max a semester, so I don't know what that life is like. But I think that students, like, however we move forward with this, after the credit limit is removed, that there should still be, like, students should be able to have resources to know that, oh, 15 credits is fine. I don't need to be in 30 credits every semester to graduate or whatever. And this was to have resources. I think ultimately it goes back onto the rigor of Cornell. I think that's the issue. that's that whatever this 3+3 program is, you have to take 18 credits every semester. Like that sounds like OD. So I think that we should just heed with caution how we move forward, even though I am in support of raising the limit because some people have extenuating circumstances. But yeah.
Representative Plackett.
Yeah. And then ILAR also has a student government. I don't know if any other colleges have that, but I said on that student government as well. Do they all have it? No, ILAR has a student government and they have trouble communicating, or at least in my experience, they've had trouble communicating with administration on this. And I think it'd be beneficial because this is like a place where we can kind of step in and help ILRs have their voice heard. And I don't think that we have to debate the actual like specifics of it. This is just enough to put some pressure on the administration and publicize the issue so that the administration will meet with the ILR student government. And from there, they can figure out the specifics of what exactly ILR students want.
Representative Akaraju.
Yeah, this is just a question. I'm in arts and sciences. But I was just wondering what the petition process looked like, or if there is one, because in arts and sciences, we have a 22 credit limit. If you want to go over that limit, then you petition to arts and sciences, and then they reject it unless you're a second semester senior, have very, very extenuating circumstances. The question there was, is there a process like that in ILR? If so, are people successful with the petition process?
That is a great question. That has been a huge problem area, which is basically we used to have a petition process, and there are three reasons, and like two of them are related to ROTC. It's like only ROTC requirements you're allowed to petition for. And the third one is a student athlete. But functionally, for your average student, we have 1,001 current full-time ILR undergrads. There's no way you can petition at the 18 credit limit. And I've had minor things. I know Trustee Swenson has this right now. But you'll be like a half credit over. And there's like nothing you can do. You're like totally, totally screwed. So it's very difficult to work around scheduling wise.
Representative Rezica.
Yeah, I think this is a good resolution. I'd like to move to amend line one, replacing strike referendum with survey, and replace it with survey. Line three, strike referendum and replace it with survey. And line 23, strike referendum and replace it with survey.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier. I think because this one is going to be on the ballot, I think the language that we thought would be better would be like ballot initiative, because it's going to be on the ILR ballot. So if that's okay.
Yeah. So strike line one, referendum, replace it with ballot initiative, strike line three, word referendum, replace with ballot initiative, and strike line 23, referendum, and replace it with ballot initiative.
That amendment is in order. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, change is made. Vice President De Lorenzo. I apologize to Vice President De Lorenzo. JP Swenson is correct.
Great resolution. ILR is the best school of all time. I move to amend this resolution with unanimous consent.
Amend?
Dissent. Approve.
There's dissent on the floor. Do you wish to withdraw?
No, I have a good point.
All right. Well, that is in order. Is there a second on Trustee Swenson's movement? There's a second. We will now move with a... Is there any dissent to closing debate? There's dissent. We will now vote on this. You can't state your dissent. All those in favor of closing debate? All those opposed? That does not pass. Vice President De Lorenzo.
Okay. So in like comparison to Dyson right now, we have a big problem where like half of the people in that school all want to be finance majors or like concentrations. It's they end up clogging up all of the class seats, and it's creating problems where like kids just can't enroll in their own classes that they're required to take. I think that like these credit limits, I don't think are arbitrarily set, but that's something else that like, should it be increased or should it be gotten rid of? That's going to be like the math that like the ILR people are going to have to do on the back end to basically make sure that there are enough seats for each student who wants to take all those classes going into it. But that was just thought that I had. It's like it's like supply chain. Like you have to make sure that like each stage.
Yeah, just to quickly respond to that, you know, we thought through that. One of the possible solutions to the supply and demand issue in ILR is just like allowing 18 in pre-enroll and then maybe allowing more in ad drop. But there's like a whole variety of things. This is just to gauge whether or not people want to, you know, face this arbitrary restriction of 18.
Just to prove.
Representative Moitra.
Are you guys amenable to doing this for other colleges as well?
Yes. If people from other colleges have any ballot or have any ballot initiatives they would like to submit, we would more than welcome them.
Would you be okay with amending a resolution to add Dyson to it as well?
No.
We that should be its own resolution.
Dyson has a credit limit of 22.
We don't like Dyson.
Not for the first year.
All right. Well, that is completely understandable. all right. I'm calling the question on this. I know there are other comments. I'm calling.
Just to confirm, all the words referendum are stricken and it's all saying ballot initiative.
That is correct.
Okay. And the type of resolution should also be changed to
ballot initiative. Ballot initiative. Everywhere it says referendum will change.
Policy, sorry.
Ballot initiative.
Point of inquiry.
Point of inquiry.
Is it okay for it to say ballot initiative? Like, I guess it's a question for the parliamentarian. When you're writing the type of resolution, does it have to fall within like the charter laid out, like internal policy, referenda, sense of the body?
Okay. So it would be legislation then for the type of thing? Okay. That'll be what?
Yeah. Legislation is fine.
Okay. Good. So that is not technically part of the resolution, so we can just change that. Doesn't need an amendment. I'm calling the question. All those in favor of this resolution, raise your placards now. All those opposed? Okay, thank you. Unanimous consent. That was beautiful. It was unanimous. Okay. What? It was unanimous. Okay.
Let's go.
All right. On to the next resolution. I will count on this one. 62, course statistics at Cornell. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Height.
Okay, so basically the backstory on this is, like, if you retake a class here, I'm gonna set the scene. In fall, let's say I take statistics, right, with Packard, right? Let's say I fail, and I'm like, this semester I'm gonna try again. Essentially, both grades will be on there twice, and it, like, counts towards your GPA, which is, like, really exactly bogus. So basically what we need to do is, like, send a thing to, I guess, like, yeah, to the registrar, requesting the data based on the amount of people who have to like retake courses to like show that there's a need for it. And then after that, I'm pretty sure we'll end up doing like a resolution later on, but this is just to like request the information so that we can get to that step.
Trustee Swenson.
Can I make a few amendments?
You absolutely can.
I think the 8, be it therefore resolved, is a little redundant. So I'm going to strike all those, be it further resolved, into the number of current students for students. It's just like take all the lines out and just have every college on the same line with ands in between them.
All right. The amendment on the floor is to take out all of the different colleges and just put one be it therefore resolved clause that has all of them in it. Is there a second? There's a second. Do we need discussion on this, or is that just a technical fix? Seeing none, is there a dissent? Seeing none, that is made. Be it therefore resolved with all the colleges. Trustee Swenson, is there any other comments on the floor?
Also, just
hold on. Representative Rezica.
So this is just collecting the data, like, can't really do anything with this yet. You have to like get the data before you can request. And would that request be made through the student assembly or like the university assembly?
That's a good question.
It's made to the student assembly. It's one of our powers. It's like just what we did with the Starbucks stuff at the start of the year. We requested information from the university about the Starbucks relationship. We did it also with wage stuff earlier this year, which we got. So, yes, that's what we're doing, I believe, if that's correct. Does that answer your question? Okay. Trustee Swenson?
I have two amendments. The first amendment is we have to state where in our authority are we allowed to ask for this information. So take it from like Siraj's resolution, whereas the student assembly is vested with examining matters that pertain to the student body. And then the second one is for the first two lines, if a course is repeated and completed, that's an order.
Okay, so your two amendments, which will be a joint amendment. The first one is to insert a whereas clause, which specifies our charter power in regards to requesting information. And the second one is whereas if a course was repeated and completed versus as a pass and a passing grade. Is that correct?
Yeah, whereas if a course is repeated and completed in full, because it isn't clear.
Okay. Second whereas clause.
It's for the first two.
The first two, I guess. If a course is repeated and completed. Okay, so you're just adding and completed after repeated. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second? There's a second. Okay, we're now in discussion on this. Vice President DeLorenzo.
So just a quick thought, when like transcripts, like, you know, should we be like adding stuff, moving it around? When you submit a transcript to like a job, I think grad school is different, like they'll actually look at it, but like they have like AI bots like read through the thing. Are you worried that this might like confuse the bot that's like reading the resume and transcript? I mean, it's like a genuine, you know, concern, like,
no. That is not, no. Okay. All right.
I think about like when you're applying to grad school, and if you fail a class and it brings down your entire GPA and entire letter grade because you failed it, but you retook it and got an A, a lot of schools, that first F won't show up on your transcript as part calculated into your GPA. But here it does, even though you've completed the class and got an A. Vice President Letterman.
Couple of things. Thank you to Trustee Spence for his amendment. Two things I thought we should do. One was add an amendment specifying for what period of time you wanted the information. The past 5 years, the past 2 years. What? Oh, we haven't done that. Oh, okay. I'm very sorry. Okay. I guess I'm just identifying the something else we might want to add in or change this. But one is the period of time, and then two is the phrasing of the Bowers College. We're sort of in a weird space where there are students who take classes within the college, but there are no actual students of the college. So I'm not sure how that's the best way of addressing that or phrasing that. But if you want to make an amendment, I would encourage you to do so with those two different issues.
Thank you. I'm going to move Trustee Swenson's amendment if there's no further comments on it. Is there any dissent to that amendment?
Can you restate the amendment? Just like read that line.
Yes. Let me. Okay. Okay. So the first, under the first where, or under the second whereas clause, a whereas clause is inserted that specifies our power from our charter in this regard. That will just be copied and pasted from the charter. I don't have the charter in front of me. But we do that in many of our resolutions, and it should be easy to find. And then the second amendment is to add where it on the first line, whereas if a course is repeated and completed, the official transport includes both grades from both and both attempts of completing the class. Whereas if a course is repeated, completed, and a passing grade is distributed to the student enrolled in the course, the latest attempt does not replace the first attempt on the official transcript. That is the amendment. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, that is made.
back in discussion on this resolution? Representative Resco.
I think this is a good resolution. I move to end debate.
I recognize that Representative Wang had her placard up. Would you like to withdraw that so she can speak? Okay, Representative Wang.
I just had like a quick amendment. I think this is just like a typo, but for all the be it therefore resolved lines, it says, wait, I don't know if someone's made this amendment yet. So like, if someone has, like, sorry, but like, it says who have retaken or retaken a course. So it says that twice. I would just like move to strike that and say who have retaken a course. For all to be therefore resolved.
I think that that's specifying, have retaken or retaken. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so you're striking re from the first.
Wait, I don't know, Niles. Oh, sorry. Like, did you mean like take? Like retaken?
Retaken. But like, it's fine. Either way, it works.
Oh, okay.
I had taken or retaken, but like.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so strike re from the first part of taken.
Yeah.
On the first retaken. Okay, we're replacing the word retaken, the first retaken with taken in the be it therefore resolves clause. Is there a second? Is there any dissent to this movement? Seeing none, that is made. Representative Akaraju.
I just have a question. I might just not really understand what's going on, but just please clarify for me. But if, for example, it does pass, they're okay with it, whatever, and there was like a student who was taking 15 credits, for example, that semester that they're going to now retake a class for, if it gets removed from the transcript and then it put like, that means that they go under the credit hours then retroactively. And then that would have put them in bad academic standing at that point. So what are we doing to think about circumstances like that? And then also, like right now, it would be that, you know, if they took the class twice and it's a 4-credit class, then they get 8 credits for it, which counts towards the 120 graduation limit. But then if they took the class twice and it's now just 4 credits, that's 4 off the 120. So does that make sense?
So I can answer this question if that's okay, Niles. So the way it would work is instead of having a letter grade, you would just get a U, unsatisfactory, which wouldn't be included in your GPA. It would just show up as U. And so it would still be on your transcript as like credits you've taken. Currently, you don't get credit for both classes. So it wouldn't change that either.
So this is only for people who... Well, because unsatisfactory is anyone with a C minus or below. So then anyone with a C minus or below can retake this class and have those circumstances work, or it has to be an F because an unsatisfactory is C minus and below.
Yeah, it would be anything C minus and below. You wanted to take the time to retake a class for C minus, and it wouldn't, like, you wouldn't get credit for the first time you took it. You're currently under the current system. If you retake a class, you don't get credit for the first time you took it, and the letter grade is still calculated in your GPA. Yeah. Yeah. Representative Reska.
Yeah, I just wanted to say Clyde's point again about we should specify somewhere in the resolution where we're how long we're collecting data back. So I think like 10 years is probably good to account for pre-COVID and after COVID.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say anywhere between like 5 to 10 years, but yeah, that was my guess.
Okay. So do you want to make an amendment for that?
I move to amend line. The number. I guess we changed it so that it's all in one be it therefore resolved clause, but after a course who have taken or retaken a course in the last 10 years be disclosed?
That amendment is in order. Is there a second? Is there any dissent on that amendment? Seeing none, that amendment is made. Are there any final comments or questions or points on this resolution? Representative Everett.
Just wanted to commend the assembly. This is like one of the most efficient meetings we've had in a long time, liking the motion. And I'd like to motion to end debate.
Okay, that is in order. Is there any dissent to this resolution? Seeing none, that passes unanimously. Congratulations, Representative Pike. All right, Resolution 63, approving budget for the Cornell Student Assembly merchandise.
Hi, guys. So Student Assembly merchandise. Sorry, this took a long time. The licensing process is just ridiculous. So the communication committee has been wanting to purchase merchandise and apparel for each member of the Student Assembly. So we will be purchasing stickers, pens, lanyards, insulators, and a quarter zip for each of the members. And the total price of the merchandise is $3,698.64, and the apparel will cost a total of $3,218.8. So be it therefore resolved, the Student Assembly transfers $6,917.44 to the External Communication Committee account for the purchase of Student Assembly merchandise.
First of all, I'd just like to commend you for your work on this. I know that it's taken a long time and a lot of communication with one question I had is how many of the Student Assembly submitted their order, like their sizes and such?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. Only 17 people submitted the survey, so please like go back and submit the survey for your sizes. I set the budget for 40 members, and I know we have 39, so just give us some leeway just in case something happens. We need to reorder one.
Representative Everett.
When can I expect my quarter zip?
That depends. I have to talk with the factory. Right now, we're thinking about getting the Patagonia black. That seems like the majority consensus, but Rockhold did have a very strong opinion on Greek House, I think it was. If you want.
Yes, yes. I can save us a lot of money if we use Greek House.
Rockhold is Canada Goose.
Is the Office of Assembly's vendors, unfortunately.
100% off.
Trustee Swenson.
I think we should get one for Eric, too.
I agree.
Great.
And Jessica.
Then I'll have to add an extra two shirts to the budget. Amended. Let me count.
Also, could you, when you get a second after this, and Jenny too, could you, as well as anybody else, the Office Assemblies, whoever helps the Office Assemblies should also receive merch from us. Can you just send out the survey one more time after this meeting sometime so that other Assembly members can fill it out? And I'll also send an email. I just want to make sure everyone gets an opportunity to do that. Representative Everett?
But if we've already filled it out, do we need to fill it out twice?
No.
Will the sizing be like men's or women's? Because I don't think that was like clarified on the form.
Can you say that one more time?
Like the sizing, is it going to be like, you know, men's or women's? I think that, or is it like unisex? And then, or just like, you know, is it differentiated by gender?
Oh yeah, it's by gender. So men and women. It's going to be the same thing. What is the approximate number for like the Office of Assembly so I can calculate how much I should amend?
Eric, do you have an approximate amount of people?
I'll round it up, so I'll just.
How many are there? Yeah, I think, yeah, five.
So five.
Trustee Swenson, she next.
Are these customized?
Yeah, so it's going to have Patagonia right here on the left chest, and on the back it's going to say Cornell Student Assembly. And big letters for it's not going to have your name if that's what you're asking.
I feel like that's putting a target on our back. I feel like literally. I feel like, I don't know, like, are we having a design committee on this, or is this just like
we can change the
top down type thing?
We can change the location. You can put it on your left arm, right arm.
All
right,
everybody.
Back.
Shh. Listen up. Okay, can you say that one more time?
Oh, we can change the location of where we put the Cornell Student Assembly. We could put it in the back in big letters, or we could put it like in the back in small letters, or left arm, right arm. It's your pick.
Okay, beautiful. Once we approve these funding, why don't you and I work together to set up at a time outside of a student assembly meeting where we could take feedback and have people come together to work on a design for us to submit that everyone's happy with, that wants to come to that meeting and cares about it.
This was a genuine question. What happens for future members of the assembly? Like every year, are they going to, okay. Or I guess, who knows that question? Are future members, or like, are the new members going to feel a little left out if like orders come in their quarter zips? And they don't have one.
I think you have to like earn the Patagonia. Like you have to like come to me.
Also, there will be, so the members who were not able to continue with us, Marwa Bakri, will also be getting a quarter zip, just to let people know.
But the new members.
The new members who come in next year?
Yeah.
I mean, they can go through a merch process, and I would encourage them to as well. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm not buying 10,000 Patagonia quarters in front. Yeah. Every student assembly member for the rest of time. Okay. Further thoughts, comments, questions? Seeing none, I'm going to move the question on this. Is there a second? Is there any dissent?
A point of information, do I have to make the amendment for the pricing right now first, or do I have
Yeah,
to?
We should.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'm withdrawing that. And
yo, what if we all got matching Canada Goose jackets?
What if we all got matching Tacoma trucks?
What if we all got handlebar mustaches like Patrick?
Let's just say 10 grand and they have not been on it. Half the minimum amount is for that. We did the same thing for another one. Yeah.
Are you going to have the like total amount here fairly quickly, or do you want us just to make a simple amendment?
I'm rounding up to 500, so I'm just going to add 500 to the total apparel cost.
That's fine.
And then the total, including merchandise and apparel, is going to come up to be 7,417.44.
All right, that amendment is on the floor. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, that amendment is made. I'm calling the question. Is there any dissent to this resolution? Seeing none. This resolution is passed. Congratulations, everybody.
Nope.
And we do just have to make appointments really quick. We're not doing it. Okay. All right. I move to adjourn this meeting. Is there any dissent? Seeing none. See you guys next Thursday. I'm going to take a look at the